Before I begin, I would like to thank everybody for your prayers during my sister's passing, for the cards, for the phone calls, for the emails. Most of all, you know, at times like that, it's a real blessing, a pick-me-up, an encouragement to know that you've got such a large family that is holding you up in their hearts and in their prayers and minds. And I tell you, that's what got us through, and we do appreciate each and every one of the saints today. Well, I trust the Lord will bless us. The last little service here, little message that I have. I thinking about people sometimes. When we get saved, we kind of lose track of the main purpose or the main burden that we need to carry. Some people get the idea that once I get saved that, you know, I've got to do something else in order to stay saved. But it's the same grace of God that saved us, His mercy and His love and blood and that thing, that will keep us saved. The way we started out is the way we just need to keep going. Because the Lord wants us to continually to grow and develop, get stronger in Him as the things of life or circumstances of life come and that we have to deal with them from time to time. They're meant for us to get stronger. They're meant for us to mature and to grow and to develop. I thought about a scripture. It's over in Psalms, the 71st chapter, in the first verse. The writer said, "Let me not be put to confusion." If there's one thing that we know about the enemy, the Bible says he's the author of it. The devil is the author of confusion. And sometimes, you know, we get in stresses and distresses in life, and the devil comes along right at those times. And even though we really know, we really understand what we need to do and how we need to deal with it, the devil will come along and he'll paint such dark and contrary pictures sometimes in order to confuse our minds and in order to confuse our thoughts that we lose our sense of direction sometimes if we're not careful. And you know, the Lord, He wants to be just as dear and near and precious to us as at those times as He is in any other time. And that's when He shows Himself strong in our behalf, is when we get in those times. So I would like to look at a couple scriptures here in the first chapter of Corinthians. The second chapter of Corinthians first. It says, 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 1st verse, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You know, Brother Michael and I were visiting at lunchtime. He didn't realize it when he was saying it, but he said sometimes it causes us to fear and tremble and wonder why and how God could trust a mortal man with something so precious and so eternal as the Word of God. Now, the Apostle Paul, I believe he was a pretty educated man, and he was probably pretty good with words. But when he was presenting himself to the church at Corinth, it was a large church, a large congregation, I should say. There was a lot of people there. But when he presented himself to them and he came to give them counsel and try to be an apostle to them and give them some understanding, he wanted them to know that even though I may be educated and I may have this pedigree, if you will, I'm coming to you in the humblest way I know how. Not with my wisdom, not with man's wisdom or man's thinking or understanding, but I come unto you not determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, if I was going to try to help a soul to find the Lord, I would want him to know the only thing you really need to know. If you really want to be saved, if you really want to go to heaven, the only thing you really need to know is Jesus. And you need to know that He was crucified, hung on a tree, and died for you and me, that you and I could be saved. That's all we really need to know. But once we know that, and it's good that we know that, there are other things the Lord wants us to know and understand. As we walk our Christian walk, as we live our life here in the world, the Lord wants us to grow and develop and mature and be more like Christ. The song number 151 in the book says, more like Christ. That should be our heart's desire. Now, one place, I may need some help here, he talks about drinking the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. But folks, he also tells us to go on that. He said, when you ought to be able to eat some meat, you're still drinking the milk. So there comes a time as we go on to know the Lord or follow on to know the Lord, as the Scripture says, that we need to be able to eat a little meat once in a while. Because it's the meat that's going to give us the protein or the nourishment and the strength for those battles and trials when they begin to come our way. When you got saved, the Lord saved us, and we repented of our personal sins. Now, I'm thinking about salvation here for just a minute. Salvation includes, the complete plan of salvation includes more than just repentance, doesn't it? When I got saved, I repented of my personal sins. And I thank the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but many times in my early morning prayers when I'm thanking the Lord for things, I thank Him for forgiveness. I really thank Him for forgiveness, because I did a lot of things that I need forgiven for. And God forgave me and cast them away, the Bible says, in the sea of forgetfulness. That is good, isn't it? God is good. That we can know that we can live and be forgiven of those things. They were done in the past. What's in the past is in the past. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. I thank God for forgiving my sins. I thank God for deliverance from the habits that I had been bound in. I thank God for those things. You know, I want to remind Him on a very regular basis that I am thankful for what You have done for me. David said He lifted me up out of the miry clay. Folks, that's where I was. He lifted me up out of that deep, miry pit that I was in. And I thank God for that this morning. I rejoice this afternoon for what He has done for me. That's the beginning of my salvation, when the Lord forgave me of my sins. Then He came along and the Lord became my sanctifier, didn't He? He became the one that gave me His Spirit in a greater measure and in a greater way, that He would give me some power to be able to overcome and conquer those things that were giving me trouble that I was struggling with beforehand. He gave me power to conquer those things. Power over myself, power over sin, power over the enemy of my soul. And I thank the Lord for that. That is the complete entire plan when He saves us and He sanctifies us and He fits us up for this heavenly walk that we are living down here on earth. I thank the Lord for that this afternoon. It doesn't take a whole lot of understanding to start out on this way. It doesn't take... Jesus looked up, didn't He? And He said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Folks, we don't have to have the smartest mind or the best education in order to get a hold of salvation. And I thank the Lord for that. We don't have to be a rocket scientist to be saved today. And I'm glad God made it that way, or I'd never been able to get into this thing. I'd never been able to be saved if we had to have that kind of a mind. Many of us wouldn't have. But I thank the Lord that He made it possible. All we need to know, Paul says, I come to you just not knowing anything else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now in in saying those things, let's back up to the first chapter in the 26th verse. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Oh, it's amazing. How many times have you been amazed since you've been saved at how God has done things that you never dreamed that He could do? Wasn't it amazing when He sent the hornets? When the children of Israel were out there fighting the Philistines, and He sent the hornets out there getting inside of those and those armor and all that? Who would have ever thought that God would fight a battle for His people with a hornets? But He did. He had people wake up out of camp one time. They thought the enemy was there among them, and they started killing each other. It's amazing what God can do. Don't ever put Him in your little box. Don't ever put Him in this place in your mind. You know, sometimes I hear people pray, Lord, you know, I need You to do this, and I need You to do that, and they begin to tell Him how to do it. Don't tell God how to do it. He wants to work something within your life and express something to you that will cause you to grow and develop and get stronger and see Him in a greater way than you've ever seen Him before in your life. Oh, He's quite a God. I'm with Brother Michael. I'll never understand Him fully and completely, but He's sovereign. And He does what He will in the affairs of men. And He said that the base things of the world, things which are despised, things that hath God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. We give God the glory and the praise this afternoon for all of His goodness and mercies to us. But now listen to this 30th verse. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ, what does He mean to you this afternoon? What does He mean to you today? Paul said He has been made unto us our wisdom. James said, any man need wisdom? Let him ask of God. How many of us pray for wisdom? Well, you get in this line of work and you pray for it a lot. Wisdom. Christ is made our wisdom. Everything we need is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything we need. Yes. He has come and provided everything that you and I need today in order for us to live a successful walk and begin to grow from grace to grace in the ways of salvation. We get it through Jesus Christ. Our wisdom. He is our righteousness. Our righteousness, the writer said, was but filthy rags. Christ is our righteousness today. It isn't us, but it's Him in us, isn't it? He's been made our righteousness. He's been made our sanctification. And He is our Redeemer today. All through Jesus Christ. And he went on to say that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Brother Steve called number 41 in our little service this afternoon. To God be the glory. We were singing that and I thought of my sister. One of her favorite songs, Brother Steve. To God be the glory. If we're anything at all, if we're successful in any way in our life, in our living for the Lord, it's to God that we give the glory. And it's to God that we give the praise, folks. It isn't within us in any way, shape, or form. And oh, even in this wonderful, great plan of salvation, He's our healer, too. He's our healer. He's our emotions, nerves. He's our comforter. He's the God of all comfort, isn't He? David said, wash me with hyssop, and I shall be white as snow. Cleanse me. Folks, He cleanses us from hurts and from pains. He's our healer today. He can bring us back from the sorrow, the sadness, the depths of the pain, to the recesses of our heart. He can go right to the very depths of where our agony is. And He can bring comfort. And He can bring healing. Oh, I'm thankful for that. He heals our diseases. He just takes care of the whole man, doesn't He? He takes care of the whole man. Now we'll look at another scripture. So, you don't have to worry about me wearing you out, because I do have a schedule, but I'm not going to quit until the Lord's finished. I'll promise you that. 2 Peter. The first chapter is what I want. Let's listen to to Peter's words here. He said, the second verse, 1 Peter 1 and 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. See, we get it through Jesus Christ. And there's power in Jesus Christ. There's power in His blood. There's power through His sanctifying work in our hearts too, isn't there? There's power in it. Because Jesus said you would receive that power. But He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. There is nothing wrong with trying to learn as much about the Lord as you can possibly learn. There's nothing wrong with you trying to get as close to God as you can possibly get. There's nothing wrong with getting as deep into the Scriptures as you want to get into those Scriptures. Just don't get any deeper than what is in the Scriptures. Because I've seen people confused by that. I see people get confused trying to get to find something in the Scripture that's not there. Be sure it's there. But folks, Paul said, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. And that's what we need to do. And everything here He's given us, He said, that pertains unto life and to godliness. That's what we're going to find in the Scriptures, isn't it? Things that will feed our souls. We just had natural food and nourishment over there. And the body needs that. But unless the body takes what you've eaten over there, and it breaks it down and you get the nutrients out of it, the proteins and all the different things that come out of that food, if the body doesn't break it down and assimilate it, it just lays in your stomach, it'll make you sick. Same way with the Word of God. As we begin to read it and as we begin to study it, He's given us all the things that we need that pertain to life and godliness. But we must take it in. When we hear it across the pulpit, when we read it in our secret places at home, in our devotions at home, it's take it in, assimilate it. Let the Spirit break it down for you. Get a hold of an understanding of God to the greatest depths that you can get a hold of it. I tell you, folks, that's what's going to sustain you. That's what's going to be there to bless you and help you when you go through your adversities in life. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You know, I read that, being partakers, that's almost more than I can comprehend. For me to be a partaker of the divine, of God, His nature. But God's revealed Himself unto us. And He wants us. He created us from the very beginning like Him. He wants us to be like Him. The divine nature. Paul said in Ephesians, the third chapter, I believe it is, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow! To be filled with God to me seems to be an awful, awesome thing. But to be filled with all of His fullness, it's going to take some work, isn't it? It's going to take some labor. It's going to take some effort. If you love something and you want something bad enough, you'll work for it. You'll labor for it. You'll have a desire. You'll have a love for it. It'll be your meat and drink. Jesus said, if you hunger, he that hungereth and thirst after me shall be filled, didn't he? It'll be your meat and drink. That ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Thank the Lord. That's enough right there to praise God for. Now we have escaped those things by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart and life. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. You know, I'm not going to take the time to break all these things down and deal with each one individually. We have done that in Bible studies. You probably have too. Maybe in your own personal devotion. But Paul, or Peter here, said for us to begin to add some things from grace to grace. We've got to add some things into our life. Because he said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we want to be? Isn't that what we want to be? We want to have more knowledge. And we want to have more understanding of the things of God. Now, let me ask you some questions here. When mothers that have little children, I won't use us older folks, but when we learned it the same way. The mothers that have little children, and I see my wife doing it with our grandchildren, and they start reading them the little books, and they learn their ABCs. They start from A, and they learn it all the way through until they get to Z. And there's a little song that goes along with that. A, B, C, D, F, G, and all that. And it goes right on down the alphabet. When you first begin to teach a child of how to pick up or learn the language that we use here in America, we don't begin just by starting out teaching them words. Oh, they hear words, but we don't teach them words. But we teach them their ABCs. When they go to school, they're going to learn their ABCs. But you can take A through Z and you can write every word that is in our English language. When you take the ABCs and put them together and know the order that they go in, you can write every word that there is to write. Anti-establishmentarianism. You know what that means? Neither do I. But it's a legal term. I do know that. And it is a word. But it takes a lot of the letters of the alphabet to make that one up, doesn't it? But first, we learn the ABCs. And I've prayed enough with young folks and prayed enough with people to know, folks, sometimes if we're not careful, we can look around at brother so-and-so that's been saved for 40 or 50 years. We can look around at sister so-and-so that's been saved for 40 or 50 years and we say, why can't I be like them? Folks, they didn't get it overnight. They had to learn their ABCs also. And I don't want to see people get discouraged because they're not like, we're not to measure ourselves among ourselves anyway. We're not to do those kind of things. But folks, we start at the beginning. Salvation. 101. We learn our ABCs. But where we learn in that is here in the Word of God. He's given us everything that we need that pertains to eternal life and godliness. We have to start at the beginning, don't we? We have to start with the basics. Maybe you heard Brother Austis Wilson talk about the little boy that was kneeling on the sidewalk, and the man, he said, was walking by, and he stopped, and he said, what are you doing, son? He says, I'm praying. He said, no, you're not. You're saying your ABCs. And he said, well, my hat flew over the fence. And the man reached over the fence, and he got his hat, and he gave it to him. He said, see, I might have been saying my ABCs, but the Lord knows how to put them together. The Lord knows. He answered my prayer. That's what I wanted, was my hat. And the Lord answered that. Simple mind of a child, isn't it? Got to start and learn from the beginning. Don't ever try to compare your salvation to someone else's. Don't ever try to compare your experience with someone else's. Do you know that a minister, when he stands in the pulpit, cannot preach any higher than his experience? That's what he preaches. It's his experience. So, I don't want to see people be discouraged. Because it takes a while sometimes. And not everybody learns at the same pace, do they? Now let me ask you another question. I don't know how many of you in here like math, arithmetic. But that was one of my favorite subjects in school. I wished I could still grasp what I learned, but it was one of my favorite subjects in school was arithmetic, that and history. But when you start out teaching a child, or when you learn arithmetic, did you learn multiplication and division first? No, you didn't, did you? What'd you learn first? Come on, what'd you learn first? Addition. 2 and 2 is 4. 1 and 2 is 3. We begin to learn how to add numbers together. 4 and 6 is 10. And all those kind of things. We begin to learn to add. And then after we learn how to add numbers together, then what did we learn? We learn how to subtract. And then we learn that if we have 6 ducks over here and 4 of them over here went off with someone else, there's only 2 ducks left. We learn those things, don't we? Why do we learn addition and subtraction before we learn division and multiplication? Because it takes the knowledge of addition and subtraction to do division and multiplication, doesn't it? So my experience with what I've learned may not measure up to this brother over here and what he's learned, but I've got to work with my understanding. I've got to work as far as I have developed. But if I have not learned my addition and subtraction, I cannot do division and multiplication. Because you've got to do adding and subtracting when you work those problems. That's how it works. Grace to grace. He's not going to give you a trial. If you are a newborn in Christ, He's not going to send to permit something to come your way that may come someone else's way that's been saved for 50 years. God does not overwhelm us that way. It would be overwhelming, wouldn't it? If we had to face a big, heavy, hard trial. Of course, they all seem big and hard and heavy when we hit them. But He gives us time to mature. And it gives us time to grow and develop. I want to write something here on the board. And it's a very simple algebra problem. That was my favorite subject of all in school. And I don't remember very much of it, so this is a very simple problem. 2x plus 2y equals 30. Y equals 9. I know some of you in here know the answer to that. But what I want to point out here, that in algebra, you have what you call unknowns. You don't know what it is, but they give you the equation. And with that equation, you find out what it is. And in this equation, you want to try to find out what X is. What X is. Isn't that the way life is? Full of unknowns. Full of things that come our way that we don't understand. I wonder, he was human. What really was going through Daniel's mind when the decree went out that anyone that prayed to another god but their god would be thrown in the lions? What came into his mind? I know one thing that came into his mind. He didn't know really what might happen. He heard the decree, didn't know what that king would really do because he had found favor in that king's eyes. But he went and he prayed anyway, didn't he? He is faithful anyway. We may have unknowns. There may be things out there that we're facing that we don't understand it. We don't know how to deal with it, but you be faithful in the little things. Amen. Daniel had a prayer life, and he wasn't going to give it up for no king, and he wasn't going to give it up for those people that set him up. He wasn't going to give up his prayer life. Well, they threw him in the lion's den, but God was in there too. He said, King, the Lord sent an angel and closed the mouths of these lions. All comes down again to us trusting the Lord and Him being able to trust us. Unknowns. We have an unknown up here. Well, when you put a number and a letter together, we learn in algebra that you multiply those things. You multiply those things. So, you got 2 times the X plus 2 times the Y, so you've got to multiply each one of these and then add it together and you're supposed to get 30. But we know that Y is 9. So if 2 times 9 is 18, then we know that X is 6, don't we? We know that. That's simple equation, a simple little equation there, but that's just the basics of algebra. But that's what I'm trying to get across to you this afternoon, folks. Don't try to go beyond your understanding. Don't try to go beyond your experience. Wherever you are with the Lord, you be happy with that. And be satisfied. Not satisfied to the point that you don't want more. But you be satisfied that the Lord has brought you to that place. And the Lord will continue to help you develop and grow until you move right on upward. And develop in the things of God. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. You know, life, so many things we experience in life, it's really, you can just bring it right over to our walk with the Lord, can't you? Bring it right over into our walk with the Lord. Just break it down and summarize it. Everything is not revealed to us all at once. Ain't anybody in here that what you know today had it revealed to you all at once. It come little by little, didn't it? It come experience by experience. You didn't get it all at once. Grace to grace. Whenever we've been faithful in this trial, God gives us grace for that. And when the next trial comes along, He gives us more grace, doesn't He? Paul talks about from faith to faith. As we begin to grow in the grace, our faith begins to grow. Folks, we're getting past our ABCs now. We're putting some words together. We're doing some math problems now. We're doing division and multiplication. Long division. Oh, I hated long division. I love math, but I hated long division. We're putting them together now. As faith and grace begin to work within our hearts and in our lives. Faith to faith. Paul said, faith worketh by love. You've heard that? Faith worketh by love. And I've heard it explained this way. If I got a little bit of love, I got a little bit of faith. If I got a little more love, then I've got a little more faith. But if I've got extravagant love for God, I can have extravagant faith and trust in my God. Whenever I go through, when the lion's den shows up before me, or when the fiery first furnace shows up before me, I can have faith and trust in God. But how's our love today? How's our desire? I thank the Lord quite often for the desire that He has put in my heart towards Him. Desire towards heaven. Towards heavenly things. Towards spiritual things, folks. We're living in a world today that's not much in the spiritual realm. But I thank the Lord for the desire that He's put in my heart for spiritual things. For heavenly things. For eternal things. Because that's where my existence really is. This life here is so temporary, so fleeting. As we've heard in this meeting. but my eternal existence. That's where I'm laying up my treasures today, in my eternal existence with the Lord. Faith worketh by love. Grace is given to who? To the humble. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Grace is given to those that are meek, to those that are kind, to those that are gentle, to those that are humble, will accept counsel, those that will accept instruction, those that will submit to God in whatever He permits to come along in their life. Grace to grace. Faith to faith. We have circumstances. Think about the things that make us stronger in the Lord. It was the lion and the bear for David, wasn't it? It was a lion and a bear. That's what made that little boy strong. He went, when he saw that giant and he heard how what he was saying about his people, God's people, he said, wait a minute here. I'll go out there. If all you cowards here won't go out and face him, I'll go out and face him. Well, you're just a boy. Yeah, I'm just a boy. Little by little. ABCs. Adding, subtracting. He added the bear. He added the lion. And pretty soon he added a giant, didn't he? He added that to his little trophy case. Because God, he said, gave me the lion and the bear, and he will give me this Philistine. You see, that's how it works. From grace to grace. My faith is increased. I've got more power in my life. I've got more joy down in my soul. And I'm growing now. And I'm developing in the things of God. I've slayed the lion. I've slayed the bear. Give me this mountain, Caleb said. I'm 80 years old now, but he said, you give me this mountain. I'll go out there and I'll take my possession. Amen. That's the way it works. Yeah. This is the way it works. You know, I'm amazed at the patience that God has had with me down through the years. Surely, I can have patience with Him. Surely I can wait on Him and let me lead Him in the paths that He knows is just and right for me. You know, every one of us have a cross. We have a cross. Don't go out of your way to pick up somebody else's cross. You got your own. And your cross is fitted for you. It's the cross that God has designed for you to bear. You bear your cross. You be faithful in that. And let everybody else deal with their cross. Let everybody else handle their cross. You just be faithful in yours. And when the cross comes, when something comes that cuts across our humanity, cuts across our will, cuts across our desire, when that cross comes, humble yourself to it. Submit to it. Just like Jesus did there in the garden. Brother Michael mentioned this morning. He humbled himself under the cross. The Bible says he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. What does that mean? To me, it means when he humbled himself unto death to that cross, he humbled himself to his enemies. They were his enemies. Their purpose and intent had murder in their heart. They wanted him to die. They wanted to kill him, and he humbled himself. I know. We're talking a lot of grace here, aren't we? There's a lot of grace there. But he was in such agony before he did that, that his sweat became as drops of blood. That's agony. They tell me that a person can get that anxious about something that their sweat actually comes out red. They say that that's happened. I'd like to look at one more scripture before I finish. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I like this chapter too. Old Paul starts out of talking about a prisoner of the Lord. You know, that's what I feel I am today, a prisoner of love. A prisoner to the Lord. And he told us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Folks, out in the business world, I wasn't in the business world in my workday experience, but I was in the skilled trade world. I was in the trades. And I worked especially with a fellow that he was so fun to work with. He had a great sense of humor. And he kept you laughing an awful lot. Folks, we were millwrights, and we were supposed to go out and repair and maintain machinery, or move in big pieces of machinery, or work up in the ceiling on steel and those kind of things. And this poor fella, he'd been at it for years, and he still didn't have a clue what a millwright was. He'd been at it for years. At that time, he was older than me. He'd been at it longer than me. But as far as being a millwright, he didn't have a clue what a millwright was. He had no self-confidence. You give him a job and you make him the leader of that job. I've seen him break out in a sweat before he ever got to the job. I've seen the sweat under his arms, his shirt turn color when they give him a job and make him the leader of the job. He couldn't lead a job. He didn't have a clue what he was doing. But he had such a great personality that everybody took care of him. Anyone that had to work with him, why, they took care of him. They kept an eye on him to make sure he wouldn't hurt them. I thought a lot of him. He was a good guy. But he wasn't a millwright. Do you know there's people, my wife's a nurse, has been for over 50 years, to hear her talk, there's people in the nursing profession, they're not nurses. They should never be there. There's people out there on jobs, should never be there. When it comes to you and I serving the Lord, when it comes to you and I living for the Lord, folks, let's learn, let's understand what we're supposed to do, that we might be able to walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. I want to be found worthy, don't you? And it's not that I'm going to know so much, maybe. It's not that I'm going to do some great thing in life. But that if I can know the Lord, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified in me, I believe I can walk worthy if I'm hungering and thirsting after Him. And if I'm working at this thing, and it's beginning to develop and blossom and bloom in my soul, instead of going out from day to day, even when I'm with people that are not churchy people, I can still have precious thoughts in my soul. I can still have precious thoughts and desire heavenward. I can still pray without ceasing. I can still be connected, no matter where I am. Didn't Jesus say, I don't pray that Thou will take them out of the world, but I pray that Thou will keep them from the evil that is in the world. He prayed for us. He prayed for you, brother. He prayed for us. That God would keep us from the evil that's in the world. And you know what? Even as the world is getting worse and worse, I still believe He's able to keep us from the evil. I still believe that, brother. He is able to keep us from the evil that's in the world. I'm counting on it. You are too. We're counting on it, folks. But remember, He's made unto us our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, everything in Christ, and our redemption. Oh, I tell you, this plan of salvation, being able to see Jesus, what did that one fellow say, sirs, we would see Jesus. Oh, when you see Jesus, and when you get that vision, that heavenly vision of Jesus and the church that He built with His, purchased with His blood, folks, I tell you, there ain't nothing can tear that down. There ain't no things in this world to compare to that kind of a vision, folks. There ain't nothing to compare to that. It is precious. It is wonderful. It is what keeps me going. It's what sustains me as life happens to me. And they say, life happens. Yes, it does. But folks, there's something God has that wants to give every one of us that will sustain us when life happens. That we can keep that joy. Don't lose your joy. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's your bucket, folks. You drop that joy bucket down in that water, and that's how you get that water out. Don't lose your joy. Because you can draw water out of the wells of salvation. What living water, Jesus said. Satisfying water. Something precious. It doesn't satisfy the flesh. It doesn't satisfy my natural physical hunger. But oh, it satisfies something so much greater than that. When I lay down in bed at night, I lay in peace. I don't tell my wife anymore if I die tonight, I know I'm going to hell. I've told her that in the past. But oh, it brings an exceedingly great joy and comfort in your soul, doesn't it? When you partake and drink of that water. I thank the Lord for salvation tonight. I really appreciate His love and mercy that He has extended to me. I don't feel worthy of it all, and I'm not worthy, but through the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for me. I thank Him that I found Him to be my personal Savior, my friend, my comforter, my guide, my healer, everything that I need, my companion when I need a companion. He's there for me. He's there for me. But I want to grow in grace. I want to grow from grace to grace. And I want this thing to develop within my bosom to where I'll have such a closeness, a communion with my Lord and Savior that will just bubble up and well up within me. That I can enjoy the rest of my days in this life and take it right on over into glory someday. That is my heart's desire. Thank you for allowing us to come and be in this little, have this little meeting. I feel like God has been faithful, done His little part. And I appreciate seeing you all again. A lot of good things happened to me down here. Got saved down here, was ordained down here, been in a lot of good meetings down here. Lord blessed me tremendously, and I love this congregation very, very much. And I thank you for allowing us to come and take up some of your time to have a little half-a-week meeting here. Appreciate it. I've enjoyed it. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for all those that have done, that have fixed me food and taken me places and those. I appreciate it all. You're my family. My family. The family of God. I thank you for each and every one. You pray for me that I'll be faithful.